We're going to be talking about the subject of ants tonight. It was a discussion at lunch today. Obviously, there's some applications to that that we want to make, and I know probably you've heard a sermon from this particular text before. And it's really an interesting section. Proverbs does that for you. It gives you simple little analogies or illustrations. Kind of lays down some particular example, much like a parable, for you to see a bigger point. And we get to see the wisdom of God as it relates to a particular subject or a matter, such as the case here. So go to the ant, O sluggard, was the passage that was read in Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. Consider her ways and be wise without having any chief officer or ruler. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Chapter 30 and verse 25 says, the ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in summer. This passage is mentioned right along with that the badger and the locusts and the lizards or spiders in some translations. And so I think these little small guys are a subject for us to talk about a little bit, and maybe one I remember as a child hearing a sermon on one time, and it intrigued me way back then. This is borrowed material, so it's something that I saw a long time ago that a friend of mine had written and drawn up, so I'm using his material tonight. I do that unashamed. I think it's important for us to kind of get some learnings from this particular section of Scripture. God's amazing creation. It preaches a continual sermon, doesn't it, about His power, His glory, and His majesty. And throughout the Bible, God uses the animal and insect kingdom to speak to man, to communicate with us. He uses the ox and the ass in Isaiah 1 verse 3. He uses a rooster in the Gospels. He uses a donkey in Numbers to speak to Balaam. And in Proverbs, God mentions several special members of the animal kingdom, and each one is a divine sermon for you and me. We could break off on a good number of these lessons. And in this passage, though, as we read it, which concerns this little ant, God is speaking specifically to the lazy man, to the sluggard. And that's what the word sluggard means: lazy, idle, careless, sticks to nothing, minds no business, and brings nothing to pass. He just really is not much good for anything. You grew up hearing that from my father. He's just not really much good for anything, he would say occasionally, as it related to somebody who just wouldn't get off the couch. You ever known anybody that wouldn't get off the couch? Have anybody in your family? Ever known anybody in any church where you've ever attended who just needed to get off the couch and go to work? Seen families affected by it ever? I certainly have. And I think we would admit that the advice being given here, and again, that's what we're doing, is we're seeing these passages and trying to value, appreciate our life in a set of circumstances as God would have us to respond. That's what wisdom is. Seeing it through God's eyes and saying, okay, this is how God would have me react to this. He doesn't want us to be careless and have no responsibility, to be lazy or idle. He never intended for that. The Bible is replete with passages that talk about how we ought to deal with the sin of laziness. We're not going to spend a lot of time on those tonight. We have in the past. And I think sometimes in our interest, in a genuine interest and concern for being benevolent, we overstep and we move into the area of sin in helping somebody who doesn't deserve to be helped. And we have to be very, very careful that we're not, by the giving of our means or giving something to somebody beyond a coat or food, we are giving something to somebody that's going to cause that person to sin. And if he remains sitting on the couch when he's a full able man and should be working, we're doing that. And we need to be very careful that we're not guilty of that. So, as we think about the idea of the sluggard and the ant, I want us to make sure we see the contrast between the ant and the sluggard. The ant, we read, is wise. He's a hard worker. He perseveres. He cooperates. He's diligent. He's responsible. He takes initiative. And he enjoys learning. We'll read about, talk about some more of that as we go through and visit some about ants. The sluggard, on the other hand, is not wise. He's foolish. He's not a hard worker. He's lazy. He doesn't persevere. He likes this idleness. In one case in Proverbs, it says he's just kind of like a hinged door, a door that just kind of opens and closes, or on his mattress just kind of twists, turns, and goes one way and then the other and then the other and then the other. He's so lazy that if there was a lion in the street, he wouldn't say or do anything about that. He's just lazy. He cooperates, but this sluggard hates to work. The ant is diligent, but this is a know-it-all. He defends his laziness, is the idea. The ant might be responsible while the sluggard makes excuses. Well, the ant takes initiative. This one, the sluggard, doesn't finish things at all. And while the ant enjoys learning, this person doesn't want to learn. He doesn't want to trade. He doesn't want to get out of the proverbial cardboard box. He likes where he's at. And in that set of circumstances, expects people to give to him. And so then in Proverbs, the discussion about all these different types of animals, I just thought it was interesting. So I spent some time just pulling from Proverbs the different animals or insects that were referred to. So I'm not going to go through all that. But it intrigued me a little bit to know that here God is using all of these different types of animals and insects to make a point about something. And so there's lessons that we could learn. Might be interesting to have more lessons on some of these other animals to see what God is trying to get us to see as it relates to his thoughts on a particular thing. But you can imagine as it relates to some of these, some of the things that God might have to say. But the bear, the leech, the ox, the lamb, the goats, eagle, snake, the rock badger, the locust, the spider or lizard, birds, deer, lion, horse, donkey, dog. There might be more. I found that many. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. Thought you'd want to see that. And I just want to go through some of these things involving the ant. Before I get into the outline itself, and we think about ants and how it might apply to us, I did like you would expect me to do, and I got on the internet. And I started asking questions of the internet. And she gave me some answers that they may or may not be so, but I'll probably be a fair representation. For example, did you know there are 11,000 different kinds of ants? And that they live in colonies numbering from a few to over 20 million in one colony. I am told, and I read, there are over 1 quadrillion ants in the world today. That's a 10 with 15 zeros. It took me longer to figure that out than it did to do all the research I had to do. 10 and 15 zeros. It'll take you a while to even write that down. That's a lot of critters. Ants are so numerous that scientists say that if you took all the ants in the Amazon rainforest and they were weighed, they would weigh 4 times more than all the other species of mammals, birds, reptiles, and amphibians living in that area combined. I have no way of knowing if that's true. But it's impressive, isn't it? A lot of ants, isn't there? That's the point I think you can't be argued. There are over 10,000 different species of ants, one version said. And what was interesting to me anyway, and we know this about ants, is they're little kind of guys, but they can carry a lot for how small they are. And so I found that when I was looking through this, that ants are 20 times, they're able to lift 20 times their own body weight. 20 times. That means that if I had their strength, I could lift approximately 4,000 pounds. I can't hear any of that. Ants have been found to build structures 500 times their own height. And I'm told that the brain of one ant has 250,000 cells, where the human brain has 10 million brain cells. Ants also have two stomachs. One for storing up food to share with others later, or for themselves for a later time. The life expectancy of an ant is 45 to 60 days. All those sayings are really meaningless to a point, to some degree, but I thought would be interesting and should be conveyed and communicated before I went on. If you check me and you find out one of those pieces of information is not true, I don't care, really. I think the point, really, is for each one of us to understand there's a lot of these guys, and they have their own personality, if you will. And I don't know how it is with you, but they're an aggravation and irritation to me. They've been known to completely empty a given area when they create a pathway where animals normally would set and animals would collect in a given area, even large animals like elephants, they'll vacate the area and leave because of ants. They're not just an aggravation and irritation to us, are they? Even to large animals, they are. But there are some things about those little guys that are worth taking recognition, these little guys with six legs. And I want to preach on that a little bit. And the first is that the ant work as a partnership. You might say they work in love. You say, what do you mean? An ant doesn't love. Well, what I mean by that is they don't fight each other, typically. We, as we talked about this morning, tend to do that sometime, and that's the way we should be. We should be people, you know, who are in step with one another, and they are. Ants are in step with each other. You watch them. It's like they're following each other, you know, spot for spot. They're helpful. They help carry burdens, you know. They deal with their neighbors in a helpful way. And we don't know a lot from what we're watching, but I'm told there are things about ants where they rescue those who've been buried or fallen into a pit. They operate in harmony and they work toward a common goal. Let's look at those a little bit more. Hebrews 13 verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. 1 John 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. John 13 verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have loved one for another. Wouldn't it be great if we were all in step with one another as we were reaching forth toward that goal? Trying to get and achieve the same thing, not pulling against each other as the elders direct us and ask for some particular response, that we all respond, everybody. It's not the 10-90 rule here, where 90% of the membership or 10% of the membership are doing 90% of the work. Everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's stepping together. Everybody's showing up on time. Everybody's here for every assembly. Everybody's here for everything. Everybody's doing everything collectively. And that's, I think, the point that we want to try to get from all that. Second of all, they're helpful. They help carry burdens. They're injured neighbors, if you will. They'll even rescue one another. And there are even ants that even though they're not somebody speaking out of command, they just inherently have responsibilities. They even give them names as you're doing any study on ants about how they deal with that. Even kill another ant to protect the rest of those ants that are around them. But they bear one of those burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ is the way it should be for us, that we get from that particular and the response we should get from thinking about the ant, and that we are who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. And I'm going through these quickly. They operate in harmony, and I think this is probably the one I've noticed the most. And wouldn't it be great if all of us could do what the ants do in trying to build up something that even after you go up there and you take your foot and you kick it around and you destroy it and step on it and think you killed a bunch of them and you walk and you go back in and get a diet drink and you come out and you can already see them building the hill back up. They're already back to work, restoring that which you tore down. But wouldn't it be great if each one of us independent of each other, understood our responsibility so that collectively we could accomplish more in the kingdom of God. That's the idea from 1 Corinthians 12, that as a body, each one of the members, all the members of the body, though many are one body, and so it is with Christ, and skipping through that text, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. If each member would do their part, just like an ant would do, an ant does do in their particular work. And then finally, the fourth point, they work toward a common goal. And this can be seen easily, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, and the application of that for us. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Understand your objective. 1 Thessalonians 4, and verse 1, sorry about the little snafu at the end there. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. And the work habits of an ant and the ability that they have to get along with one another and to reach their objective is obviously the point. Hebrews 13, verse 16, do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So the illustration, the purpose of the ant is not for me to talk about ants and all these weird numbers I gave you and things about the ants, but for us to get some idea of what the wisdom writer is trying to get us to do to apply those things. And this is just some thoughts as it relates to that. The ants' work is productive. They're all volunteers and each pull their own weight, and so should we. Each of us have our own talent. The ant has their own talent. I'm told that even these ants have a responsibility that they know to protect the queen in this particular situation, and each will do their part to make sure that that is done and carry out that role. That some ants are more inclined, or I don't know if you knew this, but most of the ants that are doing the mounding or the building of the mounds are female. They do most of the burden, carry most of the work, and that certainly means that our ladies are important in the application of that to the work of the church as well. But ants labor according to their ability. They work continually. They don't get mad and quit, and they don't strike. They just keep going after and getting after the work they have to do. James says in 2:17-18, so also faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. We need to understand that being productive is important, not just because it's something we need to do for our own good or for the reasons of getting off the couch or for the purpose of growing the church, but just simply because God expects that of us, of his creation. Ants naturally do what God intends for us to do, even if it's not so naturally for us to do it. He created us to work, begin with Adam. And we have a responsibility to be people who are busy in the kingdom of God, in the doing of for others. Jobs of all sizes that need to be done, and each one of us need to take our talents and make sure that those jobs get done, our responsibilities. As they come to us, we assume them, we take them on, we continue to grow and take on more and more. Wouldn't it be great if each individual here would assume their responsibility? There are some of us people that aren't doing that. Some who could do more that won't do it for some reason. Will not get up and wait on the table. Won't make announcements. Won't, we've only got a few, I'm told by Stephen and John, that, you know, we'll get up and do a Lord's Supper talk. That should not be. We should be more involved and willing to take our role and responsibility. If you need work on that and trying to develop something, there'll be somebody here who'll be willing to help you with that. I know the elders would, and trying to help you develop a talk. But don't neglect your responsibility. Learn from the ant to be productive, to go get involved. Use your talent, whatever it is, and develop those talents for the cause of Christ so that the church might grow and that God might be glorified as a result of your energy and your effort. Ecclesiastes writer says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So do it your very best. Assume your responsibility as it relates to this. Be productive is the idea. And these little fellows, they can't build a cathedral, but they can sure in the world build an anthill. And isn't there a point to that? That you might be limited in some of your capabilities and what you're able to do, but you can do something. You can do something to be productive and to help in the kingdom of God. So I want to encourage us to do that. And then the ant's work is persistent. The ant's motto, maybe, brothers, I do not consider what I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I tell you, you can tear down an anthill, but they're going to forget about it as soon as you get done and start building another one. And you can do what you want to about trying to discourage an ant, but the rest of the ants are going to keep pressing on. They're just going to keep moving forward toward their objective. And the application, again, for us is not to be discouraged by things that go on around about us. Even when somebody tears down our personal mount or our mound, we need to continue to press on and do the things that God would have us to do. In Numbers 14, verse 4, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And I put that in there just to remind us that as we're doing this work and we're using our talents and we're trying to be productive, don't forget how big God is in all this. You might think you're not capable of doing some things that with God's help you can get done. And we need to give Him a little bit of credit in all this and reach out to Him for help and believe in Him that He'll help us grow and help us to be productive as it relates to the work that He needs for us to do. And I'll tell you something else about the ant. Those little guys are continually working. There's no pay or promotions involved in all this. You know, they just keep going and going and going and going. Nobody's thanking them or patting them on the back or trying to reward them. They don't get mad and quit. They don't go on strike. They just work. And we ought to work too. We will reap if we do not give up, Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 9. And so we need to remember our responsibility to continually work as it relates to this as well. And then the ant's work has planned for the future. And all that really means is that the ant continues to understand and appreciate and never give up looking backwards, that what they have to do is to build the next mound. And they do things naturally that we may have to work to do, but we still need to do those. I have some really interesting facts about ants as it relates to this idea of their purpose. I'm not going to go through all that because it may disinterest a lot of you and you'd wonder why I was going through all that. Paul says, and the point that we want to make as it relates to whether the wisdom writer says, that she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Proverbs 6 and verse 8. There's preparation involved as it relates to this person who is working, and this ant is the illustration of that. In Romans 14, 11 through 14, Paul says, besides, you know, the time that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. It would just be great if we could be people who understood that being productive in the kingdom of God needs to happen even when we're discouraged. Needs to happen even when somebody's beat us up a little bit. Needs to happen even when we feel like we've been put through the grinder, if you will. Even when we're tired and we're weary. Ant doesn't quit working. And the productivity of a child of God and a Christian can't stop either. And our objective for doing all that is not, you're not doing that to make the elders happy, the preacher happy. You're doing that because you understand that that's what a servant of Christ does. That's what he does, is he uses his talents. He uses his energy. He spiritually gets off the couch and goes to work in the kingdom of God to do the things even though he's tired. He keeps doing the things that God would have them to do. And so I don't want us to just look at the ant and think about physical production. I want us to think about what needs to be done in order for us to get to heaven. And whether we're planning for the future as it relates to that idea, while we can, as Jesus would say, believing that, you know, that in John 15 chapter verse 4, I believe that to do the works while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Somebody can check me later on that verse if I got it wrong. All right, so that's really the lesson. I didn't mean for this to be a complicated thing for us. I just thought it was interesting to at least at some point talk about this. It is interesting that as it relates to these ants and they're making preparations for the future, that they store up all they can while they can. Grasshoppers, on the other hand, make no preparations, and when winter comes, they all die. Ants, on the other hand, believe in winter, and by instinct, they plan for it, even though they don't live very long. Are we planning for the time when winter is going to come, and life will no longer be in us? That's going to happen, people. And we need to recognize and realize that the work we do now and the plans we make now are the very thing that are either going to get us into heaven or not. And what happens is we get misdirected toward our objective by life. There is so much traffic in your life. Not so much for me anymore. You know, since I decided to do this, I'm every day doing what I want to do now. But I remember. Not all too well. It's not just getting in the car and the traffic I'm dealing with going to work. It's the busyness of everything and the noises that go on around about you. Everything from your children screaming at you and demanding something to your wife or your husband demanding something to your boss demanding something, and nobody's quite happy because they think you need to be doing more. You need to be working harder. Need to be staying longer. And I'm trying to help us to be cognizant of the fact that in the doing of all that, we need not neglect God or our own soul. We have a responsibility to be working in the kingdom just as well. And so I would ask you, lost person, if you're in that category this morning, you've not yet named Jesus Christ as your Savior and not baptized, been baptized into Christ, not now currently serving Him as a child of God. Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Is it well with your soul? To the Christian, are you ready to stand before God? Romans 14, verse 12. You're going to have to give an answer for everything you've done in this body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, 11. Paul said, knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, I persuade men. It was important enough to him then to teach and preach to those the importance of using the time that they yet have on doing all we can in service to God. To do the work, I think of John 9 and verse 4. To do the work while it is yet day, then the night cometh when no man can work. So we have a responsibility to do what we can, to pray, to teach, to witness, to be busy in the kingdom of God. And I want us to learn from this critter. From this ant, and understand why the wisdom writer would have used that particular example for us. That their busyness has an objective to it. It's not just, you know, running around. You know, they're carrying food in many cases for somebody else. You know, you'll see them. It looks like sometimes I'll look down and say, my lands are carrying a small log. You know, for a little guy, it looks like it's really heavy and big on them. And they're not doing that for themselves. They're taking that and carrying it to a queen or to somebody that there's a responsibility for in this little colony that they have. And they even go into other ants' colonies and steal away what I'll refer to as the eggs. It's not really what it is. It's something different. But they'll take those and bring them into their own colony because they need more workers in their colony, so they would actually steal from one colony or another. It's really interesting to read about these guys. But they realize the power in numbers. And so while we talk about how it's not important for us to have numbers in a congregation, what is important is for us to have the influence of other people in our lives, and the more the merrier. So as it relates to children of God, it's much better for me to have 150 of you trying to help me get to heaven than it is for 30. Putting numbers on to our advantage is the idea behind that. So I'm just appealing to you to give some thought to this particular passage and how it might apply to you. And I know it's kind of different, certainly different for any sermon I ever preached. But I thought it would be interesting for us to think about as it relates to this little guy, this this ant, and whether or not we're as busy as we should be, whether we spend too much time on the couch, whether we could be doing more than what we're doing. And James even makes the point that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. So if there's something we could be doing in our busyness and in using our energy for the kingdom of God and we're not doing it, maybe this will help us to think more about our lack of busyness and our laziness and how we need to be more involved or engaged in things involving God's work. So if you're subject to the invitation anyway tonight, we can help you either by baptizing you into Christ or because you want to be restored back to a covenant relationship with God and you need to get the prayers of the congregation here that you might, after having repented, be forgiven of those sins. We want to help you if you need that help, so come forward now as we stand and sing the invitation song.